This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call if you have anything on your mind you want to bring up, if you want to comment on what we're talking about. That number is 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And I think Riley had a little bit more to say about the last topic we were having, or conversation we were having.
So before we went to the break, Bonnie, you were saying that all cops are bad, and it just seems like you're collectivizing cops in general instead of the system. I think the entire system is messed up, and I'm not going to say that all cops are bad, because that would be collectivizing the people who try and join the police force to try and do some good. Granted, they're in a horrible system. They're doing horrible things. Not all of them are bad, though.
But how do you define just like a bad person, Riley?
A bad person is someone who I would suggest is willingly harming people. And I can see how the profession of cop is harming person. The person themselves isn't bad. They just got forced into a horrible system and they're thinking they're doing good.
I don't think that there's any force involved, though. That's the thing. They've applied for this job. And the other thing I'd like to point out is, yeah, there are a lot of things that you probably don't realize, bad things that you don't realize are happening until you're actually in it. You're actually caught. But let's think about what people commonly know about police before they sign up. They know that you're going to be stopping people on the road to hand out tickets when they're doing things that are not a crime, like driving too fast.
But they don't see it that way. They see these things as crimes that need to be dealt with.
I know.
We as libertarians do not.
It's not about being a libertarian. It's about realizing what is right and what is wrong. And I personally believe that there's an objective right and wrong, and that involves if you're harming someone else unnecessarily, like there isn't like something you're defending yourself from, you're hurting a person, and that can even be financially or wasting, precious hours of their time, and you don't have a reason for it, then it's wrong. And I just think that even if they haven't learned that in their lives and they just don't think that it's wrong, it doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think if you've become an adult, and because obviously it's not children signing up to be cops, you've become an adult and you haven't learned that by now, you're intellectually lazy. And that's the thing. I don't consider it collectivizing by calling them all wrong, because I'm saying that a group of people who did this thing, became cops, are bad. So, I don't know. That's just my defense, my answer to that.
Right. I can see where you're coming from. The other thing to remember, too, is, I've heard stories, and I haven't confirmed this, but police departments are hiring people with lower IQs?
Yep, I've heard that.
Yeah.
It's been covered on the show before.
It's leading me to believe that they want to keep people trapped in a horrible system.
And that's a good point, because it seems to me like a little groomery. Like, if you want to take people that you know are dumber than you and tell them what to do when you know it's wrong.
That's kind of the thing, they want people that are going to blindly obey authority.
Yep.
Right.
Well, I don't know. That's all I had to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see both sides of it. Like, I kind of lean towards, like, what Riley's saying. Like, I don't typically like collectivizing, and I feel like it is kind of collectivizing, because like I haven't met every single cop. Like maybe I don't know, like, just to give, like, the human being side of it, giving them the benefit of the doubt, like...
I just think that it's not collectivizing. If I say that everyone who is some race does a thing, that's collectivizing because everybody's different. But if I'm saying everyone who does this action is in the wrong, and therefore that's bad, it's not collectivizing, in my opinion.
I think it is, because if I were to say, like, oh, well, all doctors, or even to make it more specific, like, all oral surgeons, you know, something like that, like, to me, that's still collectivizing, because it's not looking at the individual.
But if you say all oral surgeons, and then something that is definitely true of all oral surgeons, yeah, you're talking about a collective, but it's not wrong. Like, if I say, all oral surgeons do surgery on mouths, is that just wrong? You just shouldn't do that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of, like, obviously, because, like, that's, like, just the description of it, but...
But that's exactly what I mean. Like, all cops signed up for a job by the definition. They signed up for this job. And I'm saying, and Riley's even agreeing, that the job causes you to do immoral things. So, therefore, that just makes all cops bad.
Yeah, I mean... But if there's the piece of ignorance there, or if they truly believe that they are helping their community, because, like, there could be, like, it is possible to have a cop who has never, I mean, even you could even argue the act of pulling someone over and, you know, triggering that anxiety, kind of, you know, facilitating them getting stolen from through tickets and traffic violations, things like that. Like, you could say, like, yeah, that is a bad thing to do. I would agree. But I don't know, I just don't necessarily like blanket statements, like, you know, all cops are bad. I try to avoid
blanket statements as much as possible, too.
I just try to avoid untrue statements. So, like, if a blanket statement's true, like, you know,
I don't know all cops. I haven't met every single police officer in the entire world, so, you know, I can theorize, like, yeah, more than likely, they're probably, you know, they're all probably doing bad things, and they're more than likely all bad people, but...
I think the separation we have here is you guys are saying, like, the intention matters a lot, and I just don't think it matters as much as I think you guys think it does, because the thing is, like, if you're going around harming other people and you just haven't thought of it that way, that just makes you a bad, lazy, intellectually lazy person who's doing bad things, whether you want to or meant to or not. And if you've done it a million times and you haven't even thought about it,
yeah,
to me that just makes you a terrible person.
I think it's also kind of important to look at, like, society and, like, the cultural aspects around it, right? So in a lot of communities, like, you know, police officers are very revered, and, you know, a lot of people are back to blue. So
yeah,
if you grow up in a small town...
The children are invited to go hang out with police officers, which is a little creepy. They're invited to spend time with police officers and get autographs or whatever. I don't know if they get autographs necessarily. But
I mean, they might.
Maybe.
But yeah, so, like, if you grow up in a small town where it's, like, it's a very noble, good thing to be a police officer, and, like, that's what, like... 99% of the people in your town believe, it wouldn't be crazy to believe that those people might think that being a police officer is a good thing and that they're not harming people.
Well, I just think, like, yeah, brainwashing is definitely an aspect of why some people would not think that hard about it, but just, I think there are lots of people that break out of their culture because they've realized that what their culture is doing is wrong or whatever, and it's not impossible, and if anything, I really don't like the idea of, like, oh, you just have to be this way because it's your culture. And I'm not saying that's what you guys are saying, but I hear it a lot. It's like, listen, that's their culture. Yeah, well, you can do something different. You're an autonomous person. Like, I grew up on military bases. We would have, like, parades talking about how great soldiers are all the time. And I would hear that song by, I forget his name, Toby Keith, that says, you know, America's coming for the other countries and we're going to kill everyone. I just don't want to even say the lyrics on the air because a lot of them are cussing. But, and I always thought, like, yeah, that's all true. The Muslims are bad and all that stuff. And guess what? I grew up and changed my mind on all those things. I was completely brainwashed.
Oh, yeah. I've changed my mind on those things, too.
So I just think it's not like, oh, it's not your problem. As soon as you become an adult, to become, you know, somebody who thinks differently because, well, your parents told you a thing. You know, it just, to me, that's lazy, and I don't know. I just don't think that... Yeah, I guess that's all I really have to say about it. I think all cops are bastards and terrible and bad people. But in other news, we have this story from Fortune.com. Housing market affordability is worse now than at the height of the housing bubble in 2006.
Whoa.
Which, you know, that was famously really bad because there was a huge bubble and then it burst and then we have the 2008 financial crisis.
I'm going to predict this financial crisis when it hits, and I'm saying it's hitting now, is going to be far worse than the 2008 crisis and potentially the Great Depression.
Huh. Well, even the Great Depression.
Although,
I mean, I would definitely say more than 2008. It'll definitely be worse just because of inflation alone. But
the Great Depression, maybe. But I don't know for sure. But yeah, the worse than the panic of 2008 for sure.
Well, I bet that you're right, Riley. I haven't even like looked into it much, but I just would bet you're right because inflation can only get worse and worse. And we had 2020 now, so we had, I think it was more than a third of all the money ever printed.
Yes, it was a third of the money that's ever been printed in the history of the Federal Reserve Bank since 1913. A third of that money was printed in 2020, so everyone could have their stimulus checks and...
Yep.
Government welfare, and that inflated the money supply, thus leading to increased prices because there are more dollars chasing the same amount of goods. In this case, fewer goods because of supply chain issues
right. In
the economy, thus leading to higher prices.
I'm wondering, does anybody know what the Fed is reporting the national inflation rate at?
I haven't looked at it.
Because I know like last time it was recently. Like 7% or like something ridiculous, and it's like, okay... Anybody that, you know, is alive and breathing can tell you that it has to be more than that.
Yeah. If you know the answer, 603-283-6160 is the phone number. You can give us those numbers if you have them.
Yeah, maybe there's somebody out there who's just screaming at their radio the answer. But, yeah, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I haven't heard it recently. But, yeah, I think the last time I heard it was also 7%, so maybe somewhere around there because, you know, they like to lie. It says, on Monday, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate reached 7.48%, marking the highest level since the year 2000. Even prior to this recent surge in mortgage rates, housing affordability, as monitored by the Atlanta Fed, had already deteriorated beyond the levels seen at the housing bubble's peak in 2006. Once this latest mortgage rate surge is factored in, August 2023 will become the worst month for housing affordability this century.
This is really sad because, you know, those of us who want to eventually have houses and own property, we may not be able to at this rate.
Right. And it just sucks because there's, like, a lot of people who want to move to New Hampshire, and a lot of them keep saying, like, you know, houses are expensive right now, so I'm pushing it off. Houses are expensive.
Oh, yeah. And houses seem to go off the market really fast here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And there's no inventory at all. And people keep talking about this bubble. And honestly, I mean, people have been talking about the bubble for the past 2-3 years. And I just don't see anything happening, really. Like, you know, like the rates are fluctuating. Like, they went up, and now they're kind of coming down again. And, you know, houses were up, and now the prices are coming a little bit down. But I just don't... I don't see the prices coming down, honestly. Like, I just think it's going to stay this bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way to know. And then, you know, every real estate agent you talk to or every, you know... economist that is predicting things, like they all say something different. So some people, you know, I heard, you know, some real estate agents say, like, this is just with inflation, like, this is the price of a house these days. Like,
Wow. Money
is just worthless, essentially. And then some people are talking about the bubble, and it's like, okay, if you just wait, you know, 1 year,
maybe
the prices are going to come down.
But by that time, inflation may be skyrocketing again, or something's going to change in the housing market, and houses will be still unaffordable.
Hmm. Yeah, but if your money's worth less, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, either way.
Burst.
And that's the thing, too. Like, either way, I mean, the economy's in shambles, and the money's worthless, and things are unaffordable. I mean, people can't even afford food. It's like, oh, we're talking about buying houses. I mean, a lot of people can't even afford groceries.
Yeah,
never
absolutely.
Mind a house.
says, the journey to this predicament can be traced back to last year's sharp rise in mortgage rates, which escalated from 3% to over 7%. That rage surge, coupled with the pandemic housing boom, I don't even know what that is, pushing U.S. home prices up over 40% in just 2 years, deteriorated housing affordability across the nation. Wow, 40%.
I think what they're referring to is the idea that, you know, when the pandemic hit, people wanted to move someplace else. A lot of them were moving out of the cities because the cities were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I think, like, a lot of those people moved to New Hampshire. A lot of people from Massachusetts moved to southern New Hampshire.
Yeah, I did see.
To get away from, like, all of the tyranny there.
And people from New York and elsewhere probably moved here too.
Absolutely. And not even just like actual libertarian, you know, free stater types, like just normal statist people.
Right.
Who just, you know, I mean.
Especially Republicans. I saw numbers on that. Yeah. And I saw something that was showing like which states gained and which states lost population during 2020. Mm-hmm. And New Hampshire was one that gained. So Lisa Stervent, chief economist at Bright MLS, in a statement to Fortune, said, the housing market is at a pivotal point as we head into fall. Mortgage rates are now more than a two-decade high, and for some home shoppers, these rates are enough to cause them to step back from the market. It is likely to be a very slow fall in the housing market this year. Well, like, people won't be buying as much. Home prices, which had rebounded this summer, will dip in some markets as new listing activity increases at the same time a segment of the home buying population sits the market out. Well, I've been seeing lots of houses go for sale in my own neighborhood, just like so many.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're just like, well, this is like a really expensive time for houses. Let's sell now. We've been thinking about it, whatever. Sell it now to get as much as possible for it. But the other thing is they do get bought up pretty quickly, too. There's just that many people looking for houses. But
well,
she's saying,
I think the bigger thing, especially in our area, is there's no inventory.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another reason why prices are so expensive, because you can charge that much when there's no inventory.
And people aren't building here as fast. So there isn't much inventory going on. There isn't a lot of construction going on.
And it's close to impossible to find, you know, people to be able, like the laborers to be able to build a house.
And the supply chain has been so messed up. I watched this girl, it's in Canada, but I'm pretty sure it's about the same thing. She was building her own house and she started in like 2019. So that was terrible timing because then in 2020, mm-hmm. her house is still being bought, and she had to change so many things she had selected because it's just, oh, they just don't sell that type of wood anymore, or that is back ordered for the next year, stuff like that. It's crazy. Like, you just can't get all your supplies you normally would get, and then, like,
it's expensive.
People trying to work. Yeah, and it's just going to be more expensive than it ever has.
There's been a shortage in the trades because everybody's going to get useless college degrees instead of, like, you know, learning useful skills.
Right.
So, I mean, when there's a shortage of workers, they can charge an arm and a leg to do the same work.
Makes sense. Yep. It says, well, this woman, Lisa Sturtbart, doesn't expect major house price corrections. So it's like kind of like what you're saying, Nikki. Since supply is still at a historically low level and overall economic conditions remain healthy. Okay, I don't know if I believe that. She does see risk in overheated housing markets. House prices in places like Austin and Boise have already started to fall again, apparently. The markets at greatest risk of price declines are those where affordability challenges are the worst, including some West Coast markets, as well as some places, as well as places where prices have run up quickly, including in parts of the Sun Belt. Do you know where that is? The Sun Belt?
I think the Sun Belt is in Florida.
Oh,
okay. I've never heard of that term before.
Me either. While the current lack of housing affordability echoes the affordability conditions leading up to the 2008 housing crash, there are distinct differences that set the two periods apart. Unlike the years preceding the 2008 crash, the nation is not grappling with an excessive surplus of existing homes for sale. In fact, housing inventory levels are hovering at historic lows, with July 2023, witnessing a staggering 47% decline in homes available for sale. So it sounds a lot like what you're saying, Nikki.
So I just really quickly, I looked up the Sun Belt, and apparently it's just essentially the southern United States.
Okay.
So, like, you know, all the states kind of parallel to Texas.
Yeah. So my parents did say that they saw this thing that was saying that cities and, economic activities going way up in Alabama, just like people want to move there. I guess they just don't want to live wherever they came from, some big city, and they're like, you know what, maybe Alabama's a good place to live, so a bunch of people are moving there.
Hmm.
And they live there, so that's why it would be interesting to them. Furthermore, the U.S. housing market in 2023 is not plagued by the risky mortgage products that contributed to the 2008 bust. In fact, the pandemic housing boom was the opposite of the boom in the aughts. This boom was primarily led by households with high incomes who, because of low mortgage rates and remote work policies, were seeking out a new home. The path to improving housing affordability moving forward rests on three key levers: rising incomes, declining home prices, or lower mortgage rates. Among these, mortgage rates hold the greatest potential for short-term impact. Unlike home prices that have shown a historical resistance to steep inclines, mortgage rates are inherently volatile and can rapidly shift downward if financial markets loosen. For instance, many economists believe if the Federal Reserve's battle against inflation triggers a recession, it would likely push mortgage rates lower. I just think it's hilarious they would characterize it as the Federal Reserve's battle against inflation instead of them causing
it. They're not battling against inflation. They're pretending to control it while actually being the ones who caused it in the first place.
Right. That's just ridiculous. It says, well, a forecast released on Monday by the Mortgage Bankers Association anticipates a decline in the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate to 6.2% from, I think it was 7.4% at the top, by quarter four 2023, and further down to 5% by quarter four 2024. Renowned housing analyst Bill McBride expresses skepticism. McBride voiced his reservations, stating that, in my humble opinion, rates will be higher for a lot longer than they expect. And that sounds like what Nikki said she's heard, and I wouldn't doubt it because, you know, there's not that many houses for sale. There's just a way lower inventory than there ever has been. So I can't see it going exactly the same way as it went in 2008. Not that that'd be a good thing either. I just think we're in for, you know, altogether worse times economically thanks to inflation and the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. I think, like, we're not going to know until it happens, right? And I think so many people are talking about, like, people have been, you know, talking about the bubble. And they're talking about it like it's fact. And it's like, okay, well, like, where is it? Because you've been saying this for the past 2 years.
People have been talking about economic crash coming. It hasn't materialized too much.
Kind of like weather. How can somebody actually claim to know?
Yeah.
603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. You can call in with whatever's on your mind.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. A defiant Rudy Giuliani is blasting authorities in Georgia after turning himself in on election charges.
Those allegations are totally false.
The former New York City mayor and Trump lawyer was indicted along with former President Trump on racketeering charges for allegedly trying to overturn the 2020 election. The plane reportedly carrying the leader of the mercenary group that marched on Moscow in June may have been shot down. Video online seems to show the trail of a missile and the plane crashing. Wagner-associated social media channels claim the jet was shot down by Russian air defenses. Russian state media reports Yevgeny Prigozhin was killed in the crash. Soap opera actor Nancy Frangioni is dead at 70. The All My Children and Another World star died August 18th in her home state of Massachusetts. The cause of death is not known. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You're listening to talk radio that you can control. You can call in and bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160 is that number to call. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And since this is an open phones talk show, we're going to answer your phone calls. Sarah in New Mexico, you're on the phone. What's on your mind?
Oh, yes. I have an update about our speeding cameras here in Albuquerque.
Okay.
So the update is that it has been working well. They found that it has been slowing the drivers down. And so I think we have 17 cameras, so we're gonna expand it.
Oh, have the accidents increased yet?
Oh, no, they found that the accidents have decreased and the drivers are speeding less.
Huh.
So they're gonna put more cameras on state highway. They're gonna put more. The county's gonna get the speeding vans also.
Do you trust the police with these numbers to calculate this themselves?
No, I could feel that the driver, when I'm walking around, I feel like they are driving slower. You know what I mean? It's just what I've been gathering.
So my question, Sarah, you know, in order for due process to really work in the court system, how is a speeding camera really going to be good? Because you really have to face your accuser, and if it's just a speeding camera and not a police officer, how can people face their accuser if it's just a speeding camera?
Well, you know, the accusers are the people that are viewing the video footage. They got you on film. They got you on video, speeding with your face, the car, the license plate, all that.
I don't know. I don't think that you can be considered a witness to something just because you saw even a video camera, even if you're live viewing it. I don't know for sure, but I don't think you can be considered a witness in court, but you certainly weren't there.
That's a lot of people that are viewing your footage and your picture speeding, and that is the accuser.
How good are these cameras? So, maybe someone looks a lot like their sister, and it wasn't them doing it.
I mean, it's probably pretty easy to win these tickets if you take them.
Right.
You know?
That's what I was thinking, too. Well, thank you for the call, Sarah. I just
and
don't really
update.
Have
we appreciate it.
Much more to say about that, because I don't like that.
I don't like the automation that policing has gone under, where they have speeding cameras and things like that instead of
license plate readers.
Yeah, and things like that. It just sounds like we're living more and more in a police state.
Yep, definitely does sound like that. Well, we have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi there. It's me again. This is Tony from Chattanooga. I need to make clarification on the last thing we talked about your secession from the United States. The federal government will withhold funding from any state that helps you after you secede from the government.
I mean, how do you know that? It's never happened before.
Wait a minute. They're going to barricade your state off. You can't get in and out. No power lines going in and out. You will be considered a rogue state.
Are they going to cut our power lines if we decide to break away from the United States government? Because we already have power lines going in and out of New Hampshire.
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. But Nikki asked you a question, Tony, so would you mind answering what makes you believe that? How do you know that? Tony?
Hey, you there? Yes. Okay. What makes me believe that is watching the news, watching the government deal with other countries, other people that act as a rogue state. And if you secede from the United States government, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be considered a rogue state. And the government will withhold federal funding from any other states that do business with you.
So last time you called in, I pointed out that New Hampshire is one of the states that actually gives out more funding than we receive from the federal government. So financially speaking, it actually doesn't really make sense. It's almost like the rest of the country is kind of a burden on us economically. And I'm not, even if they were to cut power lines, I mean, I'm not really concerned about that as well, because we would be able to sustain our own infrastructure when it comes to things like electricity, water, waste removal. You know, it wouldn't be impossible for us to be able to handle all of that on our own, you know, in a very
efficient manner. None of us knew, because I don't pay the electrical bill in my house. None of us knew this, but so, like, we didn't have a clear answer for Tony, but he was saying, oh, the feds are going to take away your electricity. Remember, he was saying they're going to take away your electricity and something else. Electricity, bye-bye electricity, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, poof, it's gone. It was so ridiculous. Well, New Hampshire completely controls that, not the feds. Also,
so it's a state thing.
So roads,
yeah.
Too. Even the roads. Like, I thought maybe there's some, like, federally, like, there are interstate roads and the feds claim to own them, but New Hampshire maintains them. So, yeah, you have anything to say about that, Tony, since last time you said those are just going to magically disappear if we secede?
Right. That's what I'm saying. The federal government is going to barricade your roadway system off in New Hampshire from the rest of the country. Because if you're not part of the United States isn't going to let you travel through New Hampshire, because that your roads are no longer United States roads.
Well, what about this, Tony? I just want to ask, do you believe that that is right? Do you think that the federal government would be right in doing that?
If you secede from the United States and decide not to be a part of our democracy any longer, then yes, they are right to do that.
Do you think that people would be they would be right in ruining some people's businesses that rely on, you know, interstate travel right now. You think it would just be fine because, well, they made a decision that they didn't want to be part of the federal government?
It would not be right, and it would be a problem, but the United States would build roads all the way around to bypass you.
Well, thank you for the call. I don't believe that that would happen, and I also think it's pretty ridiculous that he understands that it would not be right, but he doesn't see why we want to secede, because they do things that are not right.
This is what concerns me the most, is Tony is talking about a group of strangers calling themselves government that seem to want to control other people's lives. And this is the problem with some people touting the idea of democracy is mob rule. Now, I understand that the tyranny of the majority is what we use to choose our supposed leaders in this country. But at the same time, it's like, why do we have to keep choosing our supposed leaders? Why do we have to use this outdated, antiquated system to choose leaders? Why can't we just either find a way to govern ourselves, which is really difficult to do because we've never been trained to govern ourselves, or, you know, with the idea of secession, breaking off from the United States, trying something different? We don't have to go back to the past, and we can try things differently. It's okay to try something different.
Yeah, it's okay for things to change. That's the problem with, like, conservatives. A lot of times they just think nothing should ever change. I also just think that it's fear-mongering every time someone calls in with this. Like, Nikki asked him, how do you know this would happen? And his answer wasn't really good to me because...
Well, it was based off of what, like, other countries. And I'm like, okay, but also, if no state has ever seceded from the United States,
right,
how are you going to definitively know exactly what's going to happen?
It's also just not right because I've heard of many countries that seceded from the groups they were in, whether it was a federal thing like we have or not, and they weren't quote-unquote considered rogue countries, and the United States went and blasted them or something. It's just
fear-mongering. The United Kingdom broke away from the European Union.
Yep.
Recently, and no one got bombed.
Yep. And the other thing I would suggest to people who get afraid when they hear stuff like that, people who just don't understand how it would work and they're interested, is to read Articles of Secession by Alu Axelman. That's what I wanted to suggest last time, but I couldn't remember the name of the book. And now we have another caller on the line. We have Crichton in Kentucky. Crichton, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I wanted to respond, I think, to the last caller.
Okay.
About the problems associated with seceding from the United States.
Okay.
And on one hand, what he said about, you know, the federal government is going to harass the population of New Hampshire. In some form or fashion, you respect that. But on the other hand, he says, they're going to take away your electricity. Well, first of all, that's a ridiculous idea, because electricity is primarily generated within its own state. Very, very little electricity moves across state lines, except in strange circumstances. But the idea that that an individual has enough foresight to realize that there's going to be some inconvenience that's imposed upon the first state to secede, that's a fair argument. But at the same time, he realizes he sees it coming, yet he doesn't see that there's a solution by knowing in advance.
Right. It's a fair argument, but at the same time, it just shows that this is an abusive entity, and this gives us all the more reason to say goodbye. We don't need an abusive entity. It's like if you break up with an abusive partner and that abusive partner is harassing you all the time. People aren't going to say, well, you did a bad thing by breaking up with this abusive partner. They're going to say, good for you breaking up with this abusive partner. Find a way to lock your house better or whatever. But in this case, because this abusive partner with us is now the government, they should get a pass.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's a strange job. Line of thinking. I've encountered recently, on a similar note, an individual who argued that libertarians are like communists. And I was like, well, how is that? The communists make economic mistakes and impose them upon you. But libertarians blame you for your own economic mistakes. And I was like, well, somebody has to pay for the economic stakes.
Yeah.
That's so silly.
That's an interesting argument.
It doesn't even make any sense. I don't get it at all, honestly. But because the libertarians want to blame someone? That's just silly. Being like a communist would have to be like, oh, I want to take your money and distribute it among everyone else who doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, personal responsibility just became a social disorder. I mean,
yeah, right.
We live in a strange world. And sometimes I don't know how I fit into it anymore. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
A lot of people are completely brainwashed to where they can't even think for themselves, and stuff like that just comes out of their mouth.
I just wanted to jump in there. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks so much. I really didn't know that until, Ian was like, Bonnie, didn't you know that we have our own electricity companies in New Hampshire? No. But I also didn't know that other states largely all take care of it themselves. As Crichton said, he said a very little electricity moves over state lines. Well, I guess that is even more reason we should leave, because the electricity won't go poof or vanish or whatever he was saying. But
I mean, and that wouldn't be a concern at all. Like the typical concerns, the U.S. military might try to attack us. I mean, I would think that maybe that would be more of a valid concern than the roads, because those are the same things that people come up with when you're like, okay, this is why anarchy is better, or this is how it would work, or this is why the government is bad and we need to replace it with some different system. Those are the first things people go for, right? What about running water? What about electricity? What about schools? What about the roads? And it's like, we have the capability of doing all of that. People are doing it right now. Even with the government being there, people are homeschooling their kids. There are people that are, homesteading, living off the grid. They have a drilled well. They have solar panels. They raise all of their own food or buy it from local farms. There are already solutions to all of these issues, and people are living that life right now as we speak.
Right. Captain Kickass, one of our show hosts here on Free Talk Live, has said multiple times that instead of replacing the system, let's build parallel systems. Like Bitcoin is a parallel money system to the money system that the government has created. There are alternative systems that we can build. We don't have to tear down the government. We can build parallel systems to compete with the government until the government becomes so obsolete we don't need them anymore.
Yeah, and I do think that's a really great thing to think about, because, that's another concern, right? So if we secede, what's going to happen then? Everything's going to change abruptly, and it's going to be, so scary, and we're going to lose, all these things. But if we already have those systems in place, and then, it will create more of a smooth transition. And I think it's really important for people to recognize that you already have that power within yourself. You have the freedom to choose the way you live your life, and it is possible. It's not always easy. Maybe even sometimes the state might go after you for trying to do some of these things, but it is possible to stop asking for permission, to live your life, like I said, off the grid, just doing your own thing with your family. There are people that are doing that and kind of trying to live their life in, a more balanced authenticity, without asking the government for permission to do anything. And I also, pointed out earlier, you might get attacked for it, and it isn't always an easy route, but we do have the options to start doing things like that.
And I just really hope that as the New Hampshire exit community grows larger, the movement gets larger, that more people who are terrified of being responsible for their own lives think, oh, this is New Hampshire's not a place I should be. Really, we might leave the federal government. I need to get out of here. I think that would only be better for us. So people, I'm glad that Tony's in Tennessee and not in New Hampshire. But if you people who think like him and they're terrified of what would happen if people had to maintain the roads that live here, what happens right now. I don't know why people can't understand that that's how it works, but. So people have to maintain the roads and the water system and schools without federal funding. People who are terrified of that should leave.
So the thing I want to say is that I hope the New Hampshire secession movement grows, because discussions like what Tony brought to us need to happen. We need to have these discussions. We need to have these discussions with other people so that when the time comes that New Hampshire decides to become its own country and change political designations with the United States government, that people aren't going to freak out
right.
too badly.
That's another reason I think people should read Articles of Secession by Olu Axelman. But speaking of electricity, Nikki has a article about electric vehicles owners possibly getting targeted by some governments.
Yeah, so this is out of Oregon and Utah. So Oregon and Utah announced mandated GPS trackers in electric vehicles to tax drivers per mile driven. Yeah, no kidding. The landscape of road taxation is shifting as Oregon and Utah take innovative steps to address the unique challenge posed by electrical vehicles. In an effort to fairly fund road maintenance, these states are introducing GPS trackers for electric vehicles, aiming to track miles driven and consequently impose a per-mile tax. And I'm sure this, you know, ties into the 15-minute city, too. Like, oh, you don't want to go too far because you're going to be taxed.
Yeah.
It is no surprise that this move has sparked debates about privacy concerns and the expanding role of technology in governance.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Obviously, they're going to try to justify it by saying, well, we need a GPS tracker to see how many miles you drove. But do you need to know where these people are at all times?
And that's the thing, too. It's like, what else are you finding out with those GPS trackers, though?
Right.
Who's watching the data?
Why couldn't it just
be secure?
Couldn't it just be that they look at the odometer at the beginning of the year, then look at it at the end of the year?
Yeah, like there are other things to address. And this isn't even an issue, so I don't even know why it needs to be addressed. And I didn't really, I did know that they use some of the taxes from, you know, fuel sales to fund maintenance for the roads, allegedly. I doubt that's actually really that true. But it just seems like such a non-issue. Like, a lot of these states are pushing so hard that people get electric vehicles, and now all of a sudden you're going to tax people more for them? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. But the rationale behind this change is twofold. With electric vehicles eschewing traditional gasoline consumption, the revenue generated from gasoline taxes, typically used for road maintenance, faces a decline. In response, Oregon and Utah are piloting programs to ensure that electric vehicle owners contribute to maintaining the roads they use. Michigan is also contemplating a similar road usage charge system.
The thing is, Utah is traditionally a conservative state, or it used to be.
Right.
But it seems like more and more the people calling themselves the government of Utah want to tax people more.
Yeah, I was honestly, I'm not surprised by a new tax coming to Utah, but I was a little surprised by the whole GPS tracker thing.
Yeah.
Seems like something the people of Utah would be like, I'm not going to put up with that.
I know, seriously.
Oregon's ORGO program encourages volunteers to sign up for a system where they pay a fee based on the miles they drive on public roads. While around 700 participants have joined the program, uptake has been limited. Participants can either manually report their mileage or employ GPS devices to monitor their travel. Why would you sign up for that?
I wouldn't, but I don't drive, so there's that.
Maybe.
It's just strange, though.
Maybe it's like if you get found out that you're not signing up, then...
Well, it's a volunteer-based program, so it seems voluntary.
So maybe now it's voluntary, but won't be in the future?
Yeah, so I guess that program is to test out how it would work if they were to put this into legislation.
Hmm.
Utah, however, has gone a step further by mandating GPS trackers for every electric vehicle.
Whoa.
With roads funded through gasoline sales taxes, the state is adapting to the rising number of fuel-efficient and electrical vehicles. Under Utah's system, EV drivers are charged approximately 1 cent per mile, deducted from a prepaid wallet. The DriveSync app, integral to the system, offers trip tracking and driving reports, even including a driving coach feature that assesses driving behavior. So this is going way beyond just trying to tax people.
Yeah, it really is. It sounds like what the people calling themselves in the state of Utah are trying to do is get more into your driving habits. They can tell you, oh, you need to drive better.
Right,
you're a bad driver.
Well, they're trying to spy on people, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after this article goes to the internet, so they're quoting some internet users. One user stated, they may use GPS for that reason, but I bet that's not the only thing they end up using it for.
Right.
Yeah, you don't say. Then at Montana Rancherman added, ha ha ha, never going to buy electric. So clearly this is backfiring because they want people to use electric vehicles so bad.
Yeah, but I mean, is that Montana guy not realizing that he also pays taxes? Just
Yeah, I mean, he probably has more of an issue with the GPS tracking and less of an issue with the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie Owens retorted, that's one way to kill the vibe on electric vehicles, LOL.
Right. It's like, way to encourage people to buy electric vehicles. Not that I really fall for that, but that's what the governments are supposed to be telling us. The electric vehicles are so much better.
And, you know, like, some people really enjoy them. And I can definitely see, like, if it is more cost effective, people that travel a lot. Like, you know, I've considered maybe getting a Prius or some sort of hybrid because I do drive so much. So, you know, it would be nice to have a car like that for, like, say, if I'm going on a road trip. Like, you know, Matt's car gets, like,
Matt
At
is
least,
your husband, by the way,
yeah.
In case your listeners are wondering.
His car gets, like, you know, his worst fuel economy is, like, 40 miles per gallon. So it, sometimes he's, you know, he's gotten as high as 75 miles per gallon per, like, whole trip. So I do get the allure of some of these hybrid vehicles or electric vehicles, but
I do too. I just mostly meant, like, I don't really believe that it's, like, so much better for the...
It's really not. Yeah, it's definitely not.
What do you think about all this? Is this a breach of people's privacy? 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.